welcome to the Middle East Reports. I'm John Riley. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region of the world through a biblical lens. Security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, those are just a few of the things that we cover. And the main purpose of the Middle East Report is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. And the best way, I believe, to do that is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in the Bible. And of course, we help you to do that each and every week. And I just want to encourage you here at the top of the program to download a podcast of the show. We are on all the major podcast platforms out there. That's a great way to help this program grow through podcasts. So please download that podcast. Follow me on whatever podcast platform you're on, and also you can go to AFR.net. You can click on the podcast tab and then scroll down and you'll see the Middle East Report. Well, today we are going to find out about some awesome things that are happening there in Israel. We know that there was an attack, obviously, on Israel October 7th, a massacre. And then, of course, Israel declared war on Hamas, this demonic terrorist organization there in the land of Israel. And since that time, the people of Israel have been going through so many things there in the land of Israel. They are surrounded by enemies, as we well know. But there is one organization that is doing an incredible job there in Israel to love and serve the people of Israel during this very, very difficult time. And that organization is CityServe. And I've got Todd Lamphere. He is the VP of Government Relations with CityServe. Todd, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report.
John, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Todd, what is CityServe? And we're going to talk about your work there in the land of Israel. But generally speaking, what is CityServe?
CityServe is a collaborative network of churches. And CityServe helps these churches build capacity and also resourcing them with goods in kind. CityServe really, our desire, our heart, our motivation is to resource local churches so that they can become the heroes in their community. We've done this to the tune of over $1.2 billion in goods in kind over the last few years.
How do you do that in a practical way? Because that's a great mission, but how does the boots, you know, meet the ground there?
So we have what's called a hub pod model, John. You know, we resource a hub, which is generally a larger church. We want those larger churches to serve the smaller churches, and those are the pods or the points of distribution. So we resource, we bring collaboration to larger churches so that they can reach out their tentacles and minister and to serve those local ministries.
Now, is it food that you're giving and sharing with people? You do that through the local church, and then they go out in the community and they find people in need. But is it mainly food, or are there other things that you're doing as well?
Well, food is a part of that, John, but really it is household items, household goods. It could be with our partnerships throughout the country. They bring the resources to us. We give them out to the churches, maybe a bedroom set, maybe a living room set, maybe coffee pots, maybe diapers. And also it does include food as well.
So you are actually partnering with organizations across the country who believe in the mission of CityServe, and then they come in and they help provide, you know, some of these things that you just mentioned, the food and all these other resources through the local church. How important is it for CityServe to go through the local church?
CityServe goes to the local church for one reason only. That's God's plan. The church is God's plan A, plan B, and plan C. There isn't any other plan. In fact, the problem that we have in our country is we have relied on government to take care of the needs of people, when that has been the church's job all up through our history, up until close to the 1950s, when we began to turn that paradigm shift in making the government the helper as opposed to the church. But it's always been the church. We believe in the church. Church is God's hope for humanity.
Well, you are right on with that, and God is using the ministry in a huge way. Now, we want to turn our attention to the country of Israel. They have gone through so much since October 7. I know that you all are serving in the land of Israel, and I want you to talk about what CityServe is doing a little later on in this program. We're going to talk about you actually being there in Israel, boots on the ground, seeing these places that have been devastated and, you know, feeling the heartbeat of the Israeli people. But give an overview of CityServe Israel, what you guys are trying to do there.
Yeah, CityServe Israel was launched about 7 months ago and almost prophetically before the attacks on 7 October. We are a 501c3. We are a certified nonprofit, which normally takes about 2 years to become a certified nonprofit in Israel. God supertracked us to be able to do that in 3 months. And quite frankly, I think it was all providential in anticipation of what was going to happen on 7 October. And so we're there because we believe in our 10 initiatives. We have 10 biblical initiatives to help the poor, the needy, the hungry, the orphan, the widow. But also, the nation of Israel is one of our top 10. And so for us to be there, it's not missions for us. And this is one thing that I just stress with people. You know, we have CityServe Costa Rica. We have CityServe Mexico, CityServe Canada. We just CityServe Europe, the work we're doing in Ukraine. We do that all through churches. Those are missions. That's mission. Israel isn't a mission. Israel is a mandate. And so it's imperative that we are there. And we incorporated 7 months ago, and it's allowed us the privilege to be able to work with the Israeli government, getting supplies in, working with the people, being boots on the ground right there in Israel.
Now we're going to talk about the specific place that you are involved in there in the land of Israel. But you mentioned it's a mandate. Now a lot of people are listening right now and thinking, well, why did he just say it's a mandate? What are you talking about?
Genesis chapter 12 just makes it incredibly clear. You know, it's a verse that you know, from in the evangelical community, we know well, and that God will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. God made a covenant with his people, the Jewish people, and as we fall on the right side of Israel, we fall on the right side of God's blessing. And we believe that to the core of who we are as an organization, that we are here to bless Israel. That's why it's a mandate for us. And quite frankly, we don't want it to be called a mission. We're there to serve them and to serve God's people.
You are there to love and serve the Jewish people. You are doing that, and specifically, you're doing that in one community that was devastated in Israel. Tell us about this community that you all are ministering to and what that is all about there in the land of Israel. And give us a little geographical perspective as well, because a lot of people who are listening may not know, you know, where this community is, and give an understanding of where this is at geographically.
When 7 October hit, we were faced with, it's not a matter of are we going to land in Israel and plant our feet there in Israel. It was where. So I looked at Israel as a pie, beautiful pie. But the pie is too big to eat, right? So let's take a sliver of the pie. Let's take a piece of the pie. And we landed on En Abzur. En Abzur is a biblical town found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's the story of David and his 600 men. The Amalekites came and they sold their women, children. You know the story. And they chased after him. God told David to arise and conquer, for you shall fully recover all. They get to the Valley of Besor, or modern-day En Abzur. It's that spring where 200 said, I can't go anymore. The other 400 went with David. They recovered all. They came back to the Valley of Besor. That's where they met up, and they reunited, reconnected the families who had been taken captive. And so it's a very biblical city there in the Valley of Eshkol, very biblical region right there. So we thought, this is what we want to plant. But there's something special about this group of people in En Abzur. You see, they were attacked. They're a moshav. A moshav is different than a kibbutz. Moshav is more of an agricultural community. And they're the only community that the Hamas terrorists came after and fought against, that they successfully defended themselves against the Hamas terrorists. They had one shot, but no casualties. Guy fully recovered. I mean, it's an amazing story. They warded off the Hamas terrorists with four guns, four rifles, and a rock. I mean, it's a made for TV movie. I'm telling you, it's incredible. But they were spared. They know that they were spared. They know that they were spared for a reason, for a purpose, because they are 3 miles down. So this is southern Israel. It's right on the Gaza border. Enabzor is 3 miles from Gaza. The other communities around them, like Kibbutz Nir Oz, Kibbutz Be'eri, and others that were just decimated, are right there. They're less than a mile. The music festival, where 350 young Jewish, beautiful young people were savagely raped, murdered, beheaded, the whole bit is less than a mile from this community. And so it was important that when we take a look at CityServe in their hub pod model, it was important that we took a look at them and said, listen, they're going to be our hub so that they can reach out to their community. And I love their spirit and absorb. They know that they were spared for a purpose. They know that their friends, everyone knows someone who was affected by the terrorist attacks. And they know their responsibility. So they've opened up their moshav to the residents of these other kibbutzes whose houses have been burned. You know, John, I was boots on the ground, have been there, been to Israel twice since 7 October. Was there 2 weeks after the attack. I saw the blood-spattered walls and the blood-drenched floors and saw the bullet casings and every... I've been there. It's the most horrific thing I've ever seen. And what Hamas did and what the terrorists did, besides being barbaric and inhumane, evil, I mean, pure evil, they decimated the whole area. They put to fire cars and in the homes. So they're not going back anytime soon. But they want to come back. It's their homeland. And, you know, and this is a moshav that was started in 1982 by settlers that came out of Egypt in the Egypt Accord, and they resettled there. They literally took desert land and made it this beautiful, lush, green paradise. And so they've opened up their community for all those who are hurting. So we're investing in them so that they can invest in their friends and families in the other communities.
Now, you say you're investing in the community. What practical ways are you doing that? Because it sounds like they're a hub to go out to the other communities that have been devastated, and you're just, you know, providing the resources so that boots on the ground Israelis can actually go out and help their community. So what are you guys doing there?
You know, the first thing we did, you know, there when you go into war, disaster relief, those sort of things, they're just different phases. In that first initial phase, is you're just going to meet needs right then and there. All of them were displaced from 8 October on. That whole region lived in hotels. And so the first thing that we did is we went to a lot, which is the southernmost town in Israel, right there on the coast, the Red Sea. And we met with the residents. They were living in a hotel. They practical things like they needed clothes, they needed washing machines. So we bought washing machines and dryers and things that just meet the physical practical needs. They didn't need food. They had that, you know, so we didn't have to take care of that. It's just those type of things, the practical needs. Now, 50% of Enabzor is back in their home right now. And so now we look at round two. So what are some of those things? Mental health is huge. I mean, they're just traumatized. You have children that were in their safe rooms for 18 hours before the military could come and give an all clear. I mean, it was that traumatizing. So we're paying for mental health care. for the residents. We're helping seniors whose cars were burned up or to get them to doctor's appointments. So when the people of NABZOR say this is a need, we have set up a fund, and they just draw down from that fund. It's not for me to be able to say, you know, this is a need, you can or cannot do it. They say it's a need, we meet that need.
Well, if you want to find out more about what CityServe Israel is doing, it's easy. It's cityserve.us, cityserve.us. And when you go to that website, you'll see information on CityServe Israel. You can click on that and you can find out more information, how you can pray for them, how you can give financially, and what you can do to help the people there in the land of Israel, and specifically in this community, because they are actually a light to the other communities, and people around the country who are donating, you know, to CityServe are helping them in that effort just to be a light to communities that were so devastated in that region.
And that's really, listen, it's all about partnership. It's all about people, the God's people coming together to help God's people. And that's what CityServe does. And that's really the beauty of what's happened with CityServe Israel. You know, it's a long-term play here. You know, it's going to be millions of dollars. Practical things that we need to do in NABZOR is we need to create a 10,000 square foot bomb sheltered senior center and in clinic for the people of NABZOR and in the surrounding areas. You know, the reality is you have 15 seconds. When a bomb is shot off from Gaza, you've got 15 seconds to get into a safe room. Obviously, unless you're in your home, that's not going to happen. So they're not getting together now. We need to make them feel safe. And so one of the things that we're really partnering with churches across the country here and in our partners who believe in Israel is say, listen, we've got to make NABZOR safe, first and foremost. All the locks on the safe rooms, all the doors had no locks. And so, you know, literally the Hamas terrorists went in and they weren't bulletproof doors. They were meant for bombs and not bullets. And so we want to replace those. We want to we want to make NABZOR safe. Here's a really beautiful thing that NABZOR's done. They have 240 lots in their Moshav that they have given to the kibbutzes of Nir Oz and Berry and the others. Say, listen, you can have our lots. You can, we're gifting them to you. You stay as long as you want until your kibbutz is rebuilt, and you can do it in the confines of safety. You know, we've bought, you know, the high-end military drones for them to be able for security. I mean, things, the practical things that they need just to feel secure. And that's step one for us. If they don't feel secure, they're not going back. If they're not going back, the region's not going to be rebuilt.
You know, I can hear somebody thinking right now, Todd, who is with CityServe. Todd, why doesn't the government just come in there and help this kibbutz, you know, with this bomb shelter? And why doesn't the government of Israel, you know, come in there and, you know, help them out? I mean, what's up with that?
That's a great question. And the reality is, I think the government will at some point in time, but their focus right now is eradicating Hamas from Gaza. And I think down the road, there is going to be some play in that. I don't think they'll do a community center like we're looking at doing, but, you know, hopefully they will help maybe with the doors. And you know, they were smoked out of their rooms. There were things that came to light and things that were exposed because of the attacks, that these safe rooms aren't as safe as they thought they were. And again, they just had bombs in mind. They didn't have bullets and terrorists coming in. So they're rethinking everything. And hopefully the government will come in and give some type of assistance. But I can tell you right now, they're laser focused on one thing and one thing only.
And so much of the budget of Israel goes for security things. So they're very limited in their resources. We know that. CityServe.us is where you can go to find out information about how you can get involved. And then just you'll find CityServe Israel there, and you can get a lot of information about what's happening there. So I want to ask you about some of the current things happening right now regarding the war in Israel. Right now, we have pressure on Israel. Ceasefire come on, hurry up. What's taking you so long to get things done in Israel? Or what's taking you so long to get things done in Gaza? Get that war over, ceasefire. It's not just coming from our current government administration in Washington, D.C. It's coming from Republicans, Democrats. And what's your response to that whole idea of Israel just needs to have a ceasefire?
Yeah, it's they did that. They've done that repeatedly since 2005 when they came out of Gaza and handed over that beautiful piece of land to the Gazan people, who the Palestinian people, who, by the way, voted in Hamas in 2007. And so they've had a ceasefire. Ceasefire doesn't work. And the reality is this, our government, particularly our Republican Congress, needs to stand behind Israel right now and say, listen, do whatever it is that you've got to do. You've got your timetable. We're not going to pressure you. Unfortunately, that's not going to come from 1600 Pennsylvania Ave right now. All right? That's not going to come from the Biden administration at this point in time. They're pushing for a ceasefire. The UN is pushing for a ceasefire. There is no ceasefire with a group of people whose not only mantra, but is their mandate is to eradicate and wipe out the Jewish people from the face of the earth. The reality, John, is the Palestinian people do not want a two-state solution either. They want a one-state solution. And they're, you know, they're the state, and they want to, in their charter, it is about wiping out the Jewish people off the face of the planet.
Sadly, we have members of the Democratic Party in Congress who also believe in a one-state situation, and that is all the Jews out of Israel. I'm thinking of AOC, Tlaib, Omar, all of those leftists there in Washington, D.C., and I've never seen so much anti-Semitism coming, even from the halls of Congress and from places in the United States. And what's your thoughts on, you know, what's happening there in Congress with the leftists right now that I just mentioned, and the anti-Semitism that's going on here in our country?
Well, it scares me, because the reality is, we talk about the positive side of Genesis 12:3, I will bless those that bless Israel. But there's also the other side of the coin. There's a negative part to that. He'll also curse those that curse Israel. And so our politicians and our people in this country and our pastors who are not standing up for Israel right now because they don't want to go against the flow, or they're, most of them are just plain uneducated. They're ignorant, and I don't mean in a derogatory sense. They just haven't done their biblical research, and so they're not standing up, and they're not speaking out, and they're not speaking for truth and for God's people and the covenant that God gave with the people of Israel. And so I'm scared. Because I think we're about to see the negative side. Now, hopefully there'll be a change in leadership and in heart, and in that we can right that ship. Because if we don't, we're going to end up on the wrong side of God's wrath when it comes to how we handle Israel.
So many things that we need to be praying about, and literally Israel is surrounded by enemies. This is not the first time in their history that they have been surrounded by enemies, but we know what God's word says about the plans and purposes of the Jewish people and of the land of Israel. Israel wins. The Bible's really clear on that, and we have a choice as a people of God whether or not, you know, we're going to come on the side of the Jewish people, the land of Israel, and support them, or we're like, nah, you know, we're not going to do that. We need to be on the site. We need to be on the way of just supporting the Jewish people, the land of Israel, because that is the biblical mandate that we have according to God's word. And I hope everybody who's listening right now will consider that, because for thousands and thousands of years, it's not been that way for, you know, the Jewish people. They've actually suffered a lot because of the church and Christianity, but I think a lot of that's changing.
You know, it is changing. And, you know, and observe, for instance, most of them had never met an evangelical Christian before. You know, and so there is a shift. You're right. Christianity has gotten a bad rap because of things in the past, and because they're not knowledgeable, and there's an ignorance on their part as to what a Christian is. They lump the Pope and everybody else, and you know, in the Crusades and all of that, with evangelical Christians, and so there's a definite shift in their heart and in their mentality, because the loudest voice for the Jewish people right now is coming from the evangelical community, and they're grateful for that. They're appreciative of that, and we've got to say it loud. We got to say it proud. We got to say it often.
Well, you are someone who has boots on the ground. You've been there. You've seen these devastated kibbutzes and moshavs there in the land of Israel along the Gaza border, and we're just about out of time, but can you just in general share, you know, some of the response that you've encountered of the Israeli citizens who have received some of this loving support, you know, through CityServe Israel, and how they've responded and what they've kind of said as a result of that?
The one word is disbelief. They cannot wrap their brains around the fact that evangelical Christian would come from America to their war-torn area to be boots on the ground right on the border of Gaza. And the question is why? And what we say is this: we're not here to proselytize you. All right. That's, you know, which is their number one fear. Listen, you know, the people in Israel say, listen, convert everyone else. Just don't convert us. You know, here's the thing, John, is that we have to serve without expectation and without motive. We serve to serve. We serve because we're commanded to love. And that's it. And then God will take care of the rest.
Todd Lamphere is the VP of Government Relations for CityServe, and I want to thank you for joining us today here on the Middle East Report. And I just want to encourage everybody to please get involved with CityServe, find out what they are doing, especially in Israel right now during this time when we can love and support the Jewish people. CityServe.us, cityserve.us is where you can find out information about what they are doing. Thank you, Todd, for what you do. Thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. And I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. And you can go to afr.net, click on that podcast tab, and you can find the Middle East Report there. And we will be back again next week with a lot of great information about what's happening in the Middle East. Thanks for listening.